Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments. Maurice's.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for buy one, get one free on select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
So Texans head coach D'Amico Ryans did a number of interviews, real accessible out there. Did some sit-downs, real accessible out there in West Virginia, while the Texans were at the Greenbrier. And Seth, you were among them, among the guys to get a sit-down interview with your former teammate, D'Amico Ryans. You want to tell us about it?
I had him on yesterday, and it ended up being a really good conversation about some of the things he does from a leadership standpoint and how he likes to interact with his players. But because of a lot of our listeners have, you know, wanted me to do this for a long time, I've told the story before about when I was a crusty old veteran and I kind of tore into D'Amico Ryans when he was a rookie out there in training camp 19 years ago. So that's actually what we started off with. And I left the initial part of the interview in here where I wanted everybody to hear me with D'Amico and him seeing how much I struggle still with my job as an actual broadcaster, for which I am not trained. So here's me from right the instant I hit the record button.
Hitting record is like the biggest challenge that I didn't go to communication school. I bet they probably spent like a semester on it. Oh,
I know you figured it out, man.
Eventually.
Yeah.
I tell you, I'm pissed at myself. I get nervous around head football coaches.
Come on, man.
I get nervous. I don't care how friendly. Kubiak, the friendliest guy in the world, but like it's a head coach talking to you.
Oh, come on.
It's a head coach. Yeah. Sean and I were talking. I've told Sean this story before, and I don't know if you remember this at all, but it's a funny story, and I kind of tell it as a way to give people my first impression of you.
Yeah.
And it was in training camp in 2006. You're a rookie. I'm a 10-year vet. It's the first day that you're in with the starters. And I was kind of crusty and old school. And like, hey, you're a rookie. So I don't know, he's starting already. And you got into the huddle. We were doing like a red zone drill or something. Yeah. And you were having a hard time getting the call out. Mm-hmm. And Richard Smith is yelling at us and everything. Yeah. And I said, get the freaking hell call out.
Yeah.
And you looked at me, and I swear, it kind of like, you had a calming presence on me, like a beastmaster or something. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. I remember. I tell people that, like, when I was a rookie, I do remember when you were in the huddle,
yeah,
frustrated and grumpy.
Yeah,
like, hey, rookie, make sure I get the call.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
that was the main thing. But you needed that. I needed that as a rookie, uh-huh, right? And I think a lot of guys, this is what the game kind of misses now, mm-hmm, right? You don't have as many 10-year vets,
yeah,
who, from playing with you and other vets who were on the team, it made me realize really quickly as a young player, like, hey, this is important. Like, these guys have families, have kids. Like, this is how my family.
Like, this
my
is
family.
Business.
This
yeah.
is business. And it just, man, this is real. And
really?
I can't mess around. So that really forced me to make sure, mm-hmm, I was really dialed in on communication, really sent me down a path to know, make sure I know what everybody had on the field, make sure I knew all the calls and checks so I never messed up.
Oh, so, I feel better. I felt bad about that for like 20 years now. Okay, good. It's good. I was, because the other side of that too is, you went on, you had a great rookie year, and I was injured that year, so I was kind of watching from afar. And I got released in the offseason, and I had to come back to Houston a couple weeks later. And you were the first person I saw when I parked out. I had to park in the staff lot instead of the player lot, you know, and it's kind of tough. You're walking in there and you just, and you came out and you were the first person I came across. And honestly, I felt like you came out and you just, I felt you like were excited to see me and talk to me, and you're listening to me. I was like, this is a full grown man now. But like that meant a lot to me. Honestly, it was like that was like the first time in my life I'd been cut, and you're going through all this stuff, and it was just really cool to watch you that year transform the way you did. And you know, like, because Kylie Wong was on the team, and he was trying to come back from an injury, and you know, he had been the guy that was sideline to sideline all the time, and you kind of took his place. But Kylie was a huge fan of yours, so like that, like it's been, I mean, it's however many years ago that was now, 19 years ago, it's
been a few,
but
I mean, that shaped me, like being in at that season of the NFL when you have more veteran guys, like that really shaped me, and it's helped shape my leadership kind of style. Like, that's how you do it. Like, and you take it serious. That's what I like. I felt that it was more serious.
Really,
now,
you guys, just like that's like, the difference you felt
the difference
was like the how that it's not college kids.
Yes.
Yeah. What's so I mean, so that you have that year, and you know, like, okay, we're talking about that. That's the other thing you see. Is you're when you're a rookie in the NFL is like, oh, guys are getting cut.
Yes.
And they're getting cut during the season. And I was wondering about that with you, because I always, it's one of the things that happens when you're a head coach all of a sudden, and you've been involved in decisions where maybe guys got cut before, but you're not the one delivering the news.
Correct.
So like, what's your approach when you have to do that and you got to cut a lot of guys?
Yeah. Really, when I was a young player, it really shocked me, because I see all these vets who are practicing hard in training camp. Like I said, it means a lot to them. And to see vets who I'm thinking they're going to make the team and they get cut, it was just like, I can't believe they cut.
Yeah.
And so, and it happened again, like my second year. And it's like, man, just, is this to be expected year after year? Yeah. So, and it was hard for me to take as a young player, but I kind of grew. I guess you don't want, it's hard to, but you just grow accustomed to like, man, this is just the business of the game where guys are going to be let go. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that you're still not close with guys or you can't be friends with guys, but you get to see guys on other teams. Mm-hmm. You get to have more friends around the NFL. And now sitting in a seat as a coach and having to deliver that message is so hard on me.
Yeah.
Like, it's so hard because you're telling this player no. But the more and more I've done it, the more I've grown comfortable with it, not because of me, but because of the players and how they receive the news. Like, every player that myself and Nick have talked to, they've been, one, very gracious of being here in Houston, thankful to everything that we do for the players. So it's like, okay, it's like it's a sigh of relief because I'm thinking guys are going to take it extremely hard and they're going to be disappointed. But most guys take it fairly well. And the one thing that a lot of guys say, hey, what can I do better?
Yeah.
And that's your time to give them now some constructive
to give them
criticism.
That plan to try to build them up a little bit. Yeah.
And so it's been great meeting with the guy. It's still heartbreaking. Nick's like, oh, we got to go downstairs. Just go yourself.
I felt when Kubiak cut me, I felt like I needed to give him a pep talk, because that was his first year, you know, and he'd already been through, that's his first offseason going through some of the veteran offseason cuts and everything. And he was just he was so ready to be a head coach in a lot of ways, because he'd been in the league forever. And I was really impressed with him and how he handled everything. But I remember there was one day where he came in the team meeting where it was like, I thought it was the perfect illustration of how no matter how ready you think you are for it, you're not ready for it. Because he went off on something about like, and I'm tired of the agents calling and getting the calls and whatever this. And have you had that moment where you realize like, oh, okay, I was prepared, but I wasn't quite prepared for this? Like one particular thing?
I'm trying to think here. It's so many different things that you think you're prepared to just coach ball.
Yeah.
Right? Because you spend time as a coordinator, position coach, just focusing on football. I think it's just when things get thrown in your lap, like having to handle the cuts, having to just handle scheduling and different things, adjusting.
It's just like all of it, like the enormity of it.
Yeah, it's a heavy weight to carry. because there's so many things and it's never the same. Every day is different. Mm-hmm. So there is some beauty in that because it's not monotonous, but it also wears on you from a standpoint. You never know what to expect when you go in.
Yeah.
But I haven't had a moment hit me too hard.
You're pretty good at taking stuff kind of.
Try to.
You understand that when there's a challenge, you just got to work through it.
I try my best to.
Yeah.
Just work through it. And I think the one thing is try to treat everybody with respect, mm-hmm. treat people how I want to be treated. And that thing, that's helped me a lot.
Do you have anybody? We were talking to Mike D'Antoni today. He claims he's retired. but he was talking about just being, you know, a lot of times coaches don't have, players got sports psychologists and sports staff and everything. Yeah. Head coaches don't necessarily have like that mentor or that person that they can talk to about stuff. Do you have any older coaches that you still kind of draw from?
I do, man. Actually, my former linebacker coach, Johnny Holland,
who's
here
in
Houston with us when we played. Like, Johnny is just
I loved him. And I didn't spend that much time around him. I loved him. Yeah.
So he's the guy for me who I can talk to. It doesn't matter. We're on different teams. He's still coaching, but he just feels like that big brother to me. No matter what's going on, our families are close. He's just such a great friend who's always going to shoot it straight to me.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with All Trails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for buy one, get one free on select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You seem, you've talked about it, about finding different approaches for different players. You can't have the same necessarily leadership style for everybody. So, and you've worked up until this point, these last couple of years, mostly with defensive players. Yeah. Is there been a challenge in, you know, working with a young quarterback? Or have you learned... like, okay, this is a different set of challenges that I got to help this guy talk through that maybe I haven't done before?
No, it's whenever you're working with players, for me, man, the same with CJ, it's just about building relationships.
Yeah.
Like when I was in San Francisco, I felt like the linebackers that I was coaching, like I had a great relationship with those guys. Mm-hmm. So I was able to coach them hard. I was able to, you know, give them bad news and good. And they received it because they knew it came from my heart, right? And I wasn't too hard on them, unless Aziz says something different. But, you know, with CJ, it's been the same. Like, no matter where guys are, offense, like, it's just, man, I just wanted to let them know that I truly care about them and develop a relationship. And then whatever coaching point I may have, it's easier to receive it because they know where it's coming from.
That's what I love. Honestly, I love when Aziz talks about button heads with you, because I think there's times where I think people have their vision in their head of the movie version of a football coach or whatever their high school football coach was, and that they think that to be a tough football coach, you got to be somebody that's screaming at them and insulting them all the time. And it really, Aziz, when he talks about him button heads with you, it's a perfect illustration of, no, the toughest football coach is the one that holds you to a high standard.
That's it.
And the attention to detail, because it's 3 inches to the left and 3 inches to the right. And you're like, why will DeNimico not shut up about it? Like that's the that's the stuff I think that people might not realize that players want and need, but that's also, that's the toughest coaching you get. It's just the standard you're held to.
It is. I have a very high standard for these guys.
Yeah.
And if they don't have one, I'm going to put one there for them them to reach. And even if it's a good play, I'm not always celebrating the outcome of the play. Mm-hmm. Hey, and I do it the right way, but hey, man, what if you were 2 steps to the left, right? What if your eyes were exactly where they're supposed to be on this play? Like, just making sure they go back to their process, being deliberate, the small little minute details, because in big games, as you know, it's not the wild plays.
Yeah.
It's who can be consistent, who can not screw it up the most, and those are the teams we're going
to
win.
Well, that's a – I talked to you about this last year. I love your pro-grow tapes.
Yeah.
Because I think, honestly, and you talk to a lot of guys that played in the league, and there's times where you just feel like I feel like I got to improve at everything, and I don't know exactly what they even think about me or what I need to improve on. And it feels like these guys have a pretty good plan set out for them about, okay, just this digestible amount of things. I got to fix these these one or two things.
Yeah, it's one thing. And what we do during training camp, like that's the pro grow tapes we do in the offseason and OTA. So when guys come in, it's one-on-one meetings with your coaches. You go through that pro grow tape, give you a couple things. And then, but when we come back in training camp, what I've done is I asked our offense, defensive coaches, every day of camp, I want one guy from your position, and I want you to write down one thing that he's working on that day.
Yeah.
And we're going to list it. We're going to put it up in front of the team so everybody knows, hey, CJ Stroud, progression.
Yeah.
Or Aziz Al-Shaair, hey, wrapping up. Yeah. Like, it's one thing. You pick one player from your position. So every day of camp, you got different players on there, different one thing for them to improve on. Yeah. And we also do it.
And your teammates know about it.
Your teammates know. So your teammates can check you out. Like, hey, Seth, you're supposed to work on your first step.
Right, yeah.
Like, are you on it today?
And that's where, I mean, that's the players themselves are such valuable resources for that, right? Because a defensive tackle working next to another defensive tackle, and you know that guy's working, he's supposed to be working on his get off.
Right.
I'm going to remind him, like, hey, yeah, man, get your get off.
It's more powerful always when it comes from your teammates.
Yeah.
It's like we talked about you saying something about the communication. That meant more to me than it's like, oh, a coach is getting on me about the communication. Well, no. My teammate needs it. I'm going to make sure I got it down, right?
Yeah. I read The Energy Bus because I had read in an article that was on your shelf.
Yeah.
And I think the big one I took away from that, you know, it's a good book for kids, I think, because it's or young men, because a lot of guys aren't readers, but it's a kind of like parables almost.
Right.
But the concept of energy vampires and not being an energy vampire, is that still something you talk about? I heard it from players early last year, but I don't think I've heard it again.
Yeah.
Is it because you don't have any energy vampires?
I got rid of all the energy
vampires. Got rid of the guy.
They can't get on my bus. So no, it's definitely plays a part into like who we want on the team.
Yeah.
Like it's guys with good character, good energy, good vibe. And you do that throughout the draft process. For me, is like talking to their teammates or their coaches to see how our guy, we watch the tape. We get the tape.
Yeah.
Well, how are these guys around the locker room, around the building with the academic staff? And you get to know, oh, this is a real dude or not.
Yeah.
So if it's a guy, I got mixed reports on him and he's next.
Really? Yeah. You don't have time for it.
Because I know I'm going to be pushing guys. I know I'm going to have set a high standard for them, and they have to be able to have their resilience and have a great attitude to be able to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to make sure we get the right guys in. And Nick has done a great job of just both of us teaming up and making sure we find the right guys.
The right guys, yeah. And I think for you and Nick, it seems like you guys have formed a real good understanding of, hey, whatever, you know, because there's no one way to do it, but there's your way to do it and what's going to work for you. And you seem to have been able to identify some of these guys in the draft the last, because honestly, D'Amico, I'd love to be a grumpy old man about kids these days and everything. I come out here and watch, and I talked to Kamari Lassiter the other day. I'm like, these guys are more mature and professional than I think most guys were, like, when I was a young guy.
They are.
Like, they just approach it differently.
Yeah, they are approaching it, and I think the college space has helped them when it comes to, like, now these guys are getting NIL, they're getting money, like, they've seen a big paycheck before.
Yeah.
So it's not surprising to them, so they had to figure out how to manage money, how to manage a team of people who are helping them. They had to figure that out fairly early.
Mm-hmm.
So coming here, it's just that next step of it. So they're prepared, they're ready for the moment, and the league isn't too big for them. It's not overwhelming when they get their first paycheck, because these guys have seen numbers like that before.
As CJ Gardner-Johnson said that on the Pivot podcast, something about how the first couple years he was in the league, it was almost like he was living what he thought the movie version of a football player is. And you got to break all those preconceptions and everything about what it's like.
Yeah.
And it's cool to see, like, just some of these young guys. Like Kamari, I talked to him a little bit about something I had heard Fred Warner say, that you taught him about how, look, everybody's running the same thing. It's just they're getting to it different ways.
Yeah.
And is that part of the challenge, and just kind of coaching something is just simplifying it and saying, like, look, no, this is what you need to worry about. Don't worry, we won't hear the helicopter.
You won't hear? Okay.
Yeah. That's high quality equipment
right there. Now, I truly believe in making football as simple as possible for
you.
Like, I've been on defenses where you try to run 50 different calls and you're not good at any of them.
Yeah, yeah.
So people are like, oh, you run this scheme and this coverage. Yeah, we run this coverage, but it's going to be very detailed. And every little detail that we can even think about, like, it's going to be dialed in.
Mm-hmm.
And our guys are going to know that detail. And then once we get that defense down, then we go to the next one. And we're going to dissect that thing and make sure everybody knows all the ins and outs. And so now when you line up, we've gotten so many reps at what we do. Now we can mix and match. We can do different things. It looks more complex than it is. But it's
the illusion of complexity.
That's what it's all about, right? But I still want our guys to go out and be able to play fast. I don't want Kamari thinking. I don't want Aziz thinking. I don't want Will thinking. I want them to be able to play as fast as possible. And we do that by myself keeping it as simple as possible.
There was one article I was reading about kind of where things have moved with sports psychology. And it was one of these things. I fought it at first because I got the movie version of football in my head. But the concept of, when you're trying to improve a skill or get a guy better at something, it's a lot more effective to just show them an example of somebody else doing it right, or they themselves doing it right, than it is to show them the mistake.
For sure.
Because then you're just strengthening the mistake. And I know when you first got here, you were showing these guys a whole bunch of 49ers tape, right?
Yep.
Are you able to now show them a lot of Texans tape when you're doing that?
We got rid of the 49ers tape.
Did you guys bury it?
We didn't bury it. It's still in the archives, just in case. We had to pull up an example. But, you know, for the most part, it's just showing guys how it's done. But for me, I always believe in positive reinforcement. It's not, hey, don't back up. Don't do this. Don't. Hey, just one step this way. Hey, just make sure you put your eyes on the back this time. Hey, make sure you see that, and it's just all about the positive reinforcement. What do I need to do? Don't tell me what to do.
Yeah,
don't.
Because immediately in the player's mind, he's thinking
don't
about
jump offside.
He's getting mental reps on doing it the wrong way.
Exactly.
Gary Moeller, we added a defensive coordinator, Gary Moeller. He'd been the head coach at Michigan for a long time. He was big on that. He would say, you can't visualize a negative. So if you say, don't fumble the football, immediately you're thinking about, it's hold on to the football.
Yes.
Did you read any books this last month?
I'm working on one. Nick just gave me, and you're gonna ask me.
Oh, it's a Morgan Hensel one, probably.
What's the name of it?
Is it like Psychology of Money or something like that?
No,
I've read like four books by it that Nick.
Nick just gave me one. Oh man, Something about everything is the same. I got to figure out the
title. Yeah, it is. It is. I think of the name. What's the name of the author, Omar?
It's, everything is the same. It's not.
The same as ever.
Same as ever.
It is good.
Same
it's
as
good.
Ever.
I read it when Nick sent it to me last year.
Same as ever. So that's the one I'm working on now.
It's all, circumstances change and everything, but some things are true, and some people always operate the same way in certain circumstances. Yep. I read Belichick's book this summer.
How was that?
It was good. It started off slow. And then he got into it. He got into his group. He was, well, I was listening to the audiobook.
Gotcha.
In the first couple chapters, I'm like, this is Belichick, like press conference Belichick. This is going to be a long one. And then he got rolling. I thought the one, and I told Nick this, I like to read biographies or autobiographies of people and pick out the advice that people definitely aren't going to follow because it's hard. And he said the four most important words for a leader to know are, I effed that up. In that, taking accountability and just showing everybody that, hey, when you make a mistake, I'm taking accountability for it. And it doesn't mean it's acceptable. I'm going to fix it. But the leader's got to really admit, which I feel like for young coaches, that's tough. That's tough when you're not established. Like I'm guessing Belichick said that more as he got older than maybe when he was younger.
And I just believe that, like, just as a father, right, as a person, like, I believe in admitting, owning up to the mistakes and letting people know you're just human.
Yeah.
Like, I may have the title of head coach or title of dad, but hey, dad messes up too. Hey, I could have said that different to you. Like, I'm sorry. Hey guys, I screwed that up. Mm-hmm. And this man, I shouldn't have did it that way if I had to do it. Now I'm going back and I'm trying to work on it and fixing it. But I think that's, I believe in doing that. Yeah. And guys see that you're truly, I'm human. Mm-hmm. I'm not the, you know, informidable head coach who never makes a mistake and will always say things perfectly in the meetings. And it's like, no, I'm just like you. We're all the same. We're going to make mistakes. I'm going to let you know, and I'm going to try my best to correct it for the next time.
Yeah, it makes it a lot harder for the guy that wants to claim he didn't mess up on that play, right?
Exactly.
I'm not going to keep you. Got actual football stuff to handle. I feel good that you took something for me dressing you.
Yeah, I did. Appreciate you, man.
Yo, I gotta say that Seth Payne with his former teammate D'Amico Ryans. I gotta say, I for one appreciated the fact that we got these two football guys, former players, former teammates with the Texans that didn't get all in the weeds about football. Y'all had a genuine conversation about life, professionalism, and kind of y'all's experience together, where y'all are at now or how things are now. Like that was a really good conversation, man. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I had fun talking to him. And I think it's, you know, that's a side of D'Amico that the more and more we see him as a head football coach, you don't necessarily get to see it. It's weird because he's, as a human being, I think he's one of my favorite football coaches of all time that I've watched or know or anything else. But as a football coach, and standing up at the podium, he's got to give you a certain amount of coach speak. And I think that he did a sit down with Jonathan Alexander as well that I haven't watched yet, but I'm guessing is really good. That there's a sense about this team, and I know that when I say this, I realize they haven't actually accomplished anything of note yet, but there is just there's a vibe about the team, the defense especially. But there's a way that they operate that isn't normal. And I'm saying that in a good way, that it's hard to find in professional football this many guys that seem to be about the team and to really care about doing things the right way. There's some teams in the league where the best players are also the biggest jerks on the team. And I think that D'Amico and Nick have done a really good job of the best players on this team being guys that really care about their teammates and also go about their business the right way and aren't just sliding by on natural talent. And it's cool to, in West Virginia, it was cool to watch and see because you get more of it's a more intimate environment. You can really, you're up close, you can hear everybody talking, you can see the way they operate. And it gets me really excited about it. Yes, they have to actually go out and get to a conference championship game. They've got to win a Super Bowl at some point. But there's so many places that are in so much worse a spot in terms of coach and general manager right now. And that the kind of undefinable traits about a lot of the guys on this team and on the staff, I can just tell you it's different. I've been in the NFL and watched the NFL for a long time. And I don't know if I was ever there's very few cultures that operate the way the Texans right now operate.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments, Maurice's.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for buy one, get one free on select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
So what really stood out to me, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on it, as somebody that has been in the NFL, like, I don't know how common it is to not only have specific things that you're working on in practice. I imagine that part is very common, working on specific things, but to know individually what everybody else is working on, or to know what your teammates are working on. And so you're holding yourself accountable. You're holding your teammates accountable for what they're working on. And like, this whole iron sharpens iron thing is not like just a slogan, just a t-shirt. I know it's biblical. So it's not just a biblical concept, a t-shirt concept, a catchphrase, but they're actually sharpening each other in this kind of way. Like, I thought that stood. I don't know how common that is, or if that's something that everybody does, but it does seem very intentional on the part of D'Amico.
It is. I think, you know, and as alluded to when I was talking to D'Amico, there are a lot of guys in the NFL that just feel like, honestly, they want more feedback about exactly what do I need to improve. Because you get judged on a play-by-play basis, and sometimes there's not really a curriculum to follow for your development as a player. And you just end up feeling like I've got 900 things I want to get better at, and I got to get better at them all the time. And, oh, the coach is going to I'm trying to work on this, but then the coach is screaming at me about that. And I think D'Amico, because he played, understands that challenge and understands the challenge that players have. But then also you know, as a player, like he talked about, you learn things from the veterans that you didn't learn from the coaches. So he sees that side of it. And there's lots of former players who aren't good coaches, but D'Amico is taking all that experience that he learned as a player in a way that some coaches don't, and kind of transformed into the way he coaches, where he almost makes it he makes it systematic that, okay, look, I got a lot of really good advice from veterans when I was a younger player. How do I make sure that that's the normal thing and that that's the standard? And that when Will Anderson is working on something, Daniil Hunter knows exactly what Will Anderson is working on that day and can have conversations with him about it and can be a coach on the field. You've got two defensive line coaches to work with at this point in camp, what, 18, 19 guys. There's only so much the coaches can do. So you empower the players themselves to be coaches on the field. And it's not just some, you know, people talk about leadership very vaguely and say, we need better veteran leadership, and then they don't define it. I think DeMeco, he's got a framework where he defines what the player leadership and the veteran leadership looks like.
Well, so I've obviously heard the anecdote that y'all led the interview with, the story that you told from when you were a veteran and DeMeco was a rookie and was already starting and you barking at him at a practice. And look, I was not expecting him. I think this is a perfect anecdote to what you're talking about. I was not expecting him to remember that moment as fondly as it seemed like he did. The fact that, and this is kind of speaking to the idea of teammates and other players holding each other accountable just as much, if not more so, and it being even more effective than it is when the coaches do it, just kind of feeling more so accountable to the teammate. And for him to talk about how that season shaped him, how he did not forget that moment. And instead of, like, being sensitive about it or cratering in the moment, like, oh, this veteran who's older than me is being mean to me. And like, instead of taking it that way, it's like, oh, damn, this is really important. My role in this is really important. And even said, like, that to me showed how seriously my teammates took it, and all the more so meant that I needed to be dialed in. Like, that is the perfect attitude to take towards a moment like that. Like, who knows? Like, we weren't there. You might have been being a jerk. Maybe you were out of line. Who knows? But it didn't really matter. For DeMeco, it was, hey, this matters to my teammate.
Yeah.
And I'm still here trying to prove myself. I need to be dialed in because I'm playing for the guy next to me.
Well, this is the whole thing. I tore into many rookies in my day.
I bet you did.
So for it, like, when I said I felt bad about it for 19 years, it has nothing to do with the fact that I tore into a rookie that needed to be torn into, like, on that moment. Like, in the rest of the conversation, we're talking about coaching in a positive manner and everything.
Yeah.
The stuff that happens on the football field and in the moment or on the sideline, that's a different scenario. There's a level of urgency there. The reason I felt bad about it was because in that moment when I tore into DeMeco, I didn't know who he was and what a great kid he actually was at that point.
You didn't know you didn't know he was special.
Yeah. And so I didn't know he was wired the way he was, to where, like, this is the guy that of all the rookies to tear into, you know, he needed it the least. But so it was almost something that over time I was like, man, that kid, boy, I wish I'd been a little gentler with him, because I could have talked to him on the sideline and he was going to get the message. You know, I could have, and that would have been the ideal way to handle it. But in the moment when things need to be done now, that's the way it goes. So I just, that's me feeling bad about it was more the fact that he's like a Will Anderson type of guy, where if you give him some advice, he's going to take it and you don't have to worry about it. But you're exactly right. That DeMeco is just, because he is that person, he's not going to sit there and act like, disgruntled that somebody criticized him in the moment. He actually took the criticism and changed very quickly, or at least heightened his level of urgency.
I noticed, too, that, and it feels like this. So you tell me if you, and honestly, you're the one who mentioned him, so you tell me if you disagree with this, but it feels like every time we have a conversation about the Texans' culture, locker room, the standard that they're setting, the professionalism, setting the tone. Obviously, Will Anderson's name comes up a lot, but so does Kamari Lassiter's. Like, mm-hmm. you brought it up because I know you got to spend some time around Kamari Lassiter, but DeMeco's brought it up even before you did, or earlier in training camp, just talked about, kind of threw his name in there along with a Will Anderson as somebody like, who to follow if you're trying to figure out how to be and how to ingratiate yourself into this Texans culture. These are the guys that embody that. I just think that that's really impressive for a guy that's only played a season and seemingly arrived that way. Not to discredit the culture that has been set, but to credit them for identifying a guy that seems to fit perfectly with what it is they're trying to do, both on the field and the the message and the ethos that they're trying to have around the organization. Kamari Lassiter seems to be one of those guys.
Well, yeah, and Kamari, when I spoke with him, the thing that I was really impressed with is just that sometimes when you ask players, okay, what are you working on, or what do you think what are other teams focused on, do you think, after their season, off season of watching you, they don't want to go into the details of it, or maybe they don't necessarily even actually have a good answer about it. But I asked Kamari just, okay, so hey, you know that offenses have been watching you all off season. What do you think that they're going to try to attack, or where they think your weakness is? And he just flat out said, oh, off the ball. I was, you know, in college, I was on the ball playing press a lot. And I'm comfortable in that, but the off ball stuff, that's just something that he needs to continue to work at. And he gets you always worry about the guys who have promising rookie years. Okay. The offenses are going to watch them. The defenses are going to watch the offensive players, and they're going to try to exploit your weaknesses. That's where I feel even better about Kamari after hearing that answer, that he understands the assignment. He gets it. He knows what guys are going to try to attack this year, and that's what he's been working on in the offseason.
So you didn't hold his feet to the fire on this, and I wouldn't have either. But I got to say, I was kind of curious when y'all started talking about the energy vampires.
Oh, yeah.
And he said that got rid of all the energy vampires, that the energy vampires are gone now.
I should have said, yeah, which ones? Name the energy vampires you got rid of.
Names. Give me the names. Who are they? I want to know who they are, who they were. You know?
From the comments on YouTube, a lot of people went straight to Laramie Tunsil on that. Yeah. For whatever it's worth, he was talking about the draft process in that moment.
Right.
So I don't think it's fair to link it to Laramie Tunsil or anybody others. I'm sure there are some veteran players that, yeah, they got rid of all those guys, but they also got rid of other guys for just whatever, normal football reasons or salary reasons or whatever else it might be.
Yeah. Yeah. It could be a different reason why your energy. Maybe you just cost too damn much and you're bringing down the energy of the room just because, because of the sticker shot. You know?
I don't like the energy of our cap space right now. Laramie's an energy vampire on the cap space.
Another thing that I really liked that both of you guys talked, and you kind of just hit on this a little bit too, is the coaching with positive reinforcement. One of the coaches that you cited, I forget the name, but you were talking about somebody.
Gary Moeller,
who said that you can't visualize a negative.
Mm-hmm.
That I think is like something that you can apply to not just football, but just in life in general, in leadership. Just period across the board on how maybe a better way to go about criticizing and trying to have that, build that rapport with somebody when, like, you're always on their ass, but, you know, kind of in a positive way. You're showing them what to do and not telling them what not to do. You know, there's some value in that.
Look, you can be the most cynical, grumpiest person in the world, but the fact of the matter is if you just focus on the behavior you want, it eliminates a step in the process. You know, and it makes it a more efficient progress. If I say don't fumble the football, then in your mind, you're getting a mental rep because immediately you visualize dropping a football. And then you got to tell yourself, okay, wait, no. So what do I have to do? Oh, I have to hold on to the football. Well, that's inefficient. So just let's cut to the chase. Hold on to the football. This is what we need you to do. Hold on to the football. Hold on to the football. Great. And then you start visualizing that, and that's what you're practicing. So even if you're just hardwired to be negative, you're being inefficient. And there's nothing negative people hate more than being inefficient. I can speak from experience. So just get rid of that step in the process and focus on the behavior that you want. And that's D'Amico's very much wired that way. And it also, and I'm glad I talked to him about it with Aziz Alshire, like that dynamic. Aziz will talk about how him and D'Amico have butted heads. And it's not because D'Amico was, screaming or insulting Aziz or anything. It's because D'Amico holds his players to a really, really high standard. And it doesn't matter if the coach is yelling or if he's doing it in a soft tone of voice. It's really frustrating sometimes when you got a coach that's just making you do everything perfectly. That's what a tough football coach is. There's a lot of guys that fake toughness as football coaches because they think if they yell and swear and cuss a lot that now I'm being a tough coach. When in fact, a lot of those guys are the laziest football coaches because they actually don't know how to coach the technique to get the behavior they want. So they just revert to just yelling and screaming and hoping that it works, which is lazy. So you always have to ask yourself, it's not like you're never going to lose your temper or anything, but you always have to ask yourself as a coach, if I'm flipping out over something right now, Is it because I actually genuinely don't know how to teach and coach this properly? It's some kids are lazy and they need to be taught a hard lesson. Other kids are trying really, really hard. And instead of you giving them the tools to improve at the task, you're just making them feel worse than they already do because they really want to do it the right way. And you're just, all you're doing is berating them instead of actually telling them and teaching them how to do it the right way.
Couldn't agree more, man. It's good stuff. It's really good stuff. So you mentioned Azeez Al-Shaair. We're going to hear from him. He talked with Sean Pendergast exclusively. So we're going to hear from him in the 8 o'clock hour. We're also going to revisit that interview that we just heard with you and D'Amico Ryans in the 9 o'clock hour. So if you missed any of it, or if you want to tell somebody who might have missed it about it, let them know that they can find it in the 9 o'clock hour. We will revisit it. But for now, let's switch over to the Astros for a second. Does a healthy Yordan Alvarez put the Astros in this conversation? What conversation? We'll talk about that next.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for buy one, get one free on select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.